You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Coming up later in the program, we'll talk with the author of the Fat Chance Cookbook. It's filled with nutrition advice and recipes for eating well and kicking the sugar habit.
First, a new report out this week details political campaign donations in Wisconsin in 2013. While it wasn't an election year, state lawmakers still managed to take in a large amount of campaign cash.
And while one party holds a significant advantage over the other, our next guest says both parties used mega fundraising committees to draw nearly a third of the legislative campaign cash raised in 2013.
Joining us now to talk about the last year in campaign finance and what it means for this year's elections is Mike McCabe. He's the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Mike, welcome to the show.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Good to be with you.
So it wasn't an election year. How much money are we talking about raised by our elected lawmakers?
Now, legislators raised about $3.5 million in 2013, and if you look at the cash balances in their campaign accounts, it's over $4 million sitting there as they prepare for the November elections. But certainly when you look at the fundraising, there are 132 members of the legislature, but the big fundraising was done by a very small number of committees controlled by legislative leaders. So the money was really concentrated in the hands of a very few.
Who are some of those very few who raised the big cash?
Well, you know, first of all, $3.5 million was raised. Most of it went to Republicans, and of course, the Republicans control both the Assembly and the State Senate, and most of the money went to leadership PACs that are controlled by the lawmakers who are in leadership in both houses. They were real magnets for money, and of course, interest groups want to influence those leaders because those leaders set the agenda in the legislature. They decide what bills are going to be voted on and which ones are going to be bottled up. And so those leaders and their leadership PACs become just magnets for special interest campaign money. And indeed, if you look at the top recipients, the four top recipients are these committees controlled by legislative leaders. And then you go further down the list, and again, the number five on the list is Scott Fitzgerald, the Senate Republican leader. And you look at the top cash balances, and there's the Republican Senate leader and the Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, right near the top of the list, right behind the Republican Assembly leadership committee that raised over $300,000 itself. So money flowed to power, and that's one of the things that's real clear about all these political donations is that money flows to power.
Was that true even when Democrats were in power? Whoever was setting the agenda in each house was a big beneficiary of campaign donations?
Yeah, clearly, when you see the Democrats in control of the legislature, then the money begins to skew in their direction. And when the Republicans are in charge, they do much better with fundraising. And right now, the Republicans are in charge of both houses. So the interest groups are showering them with campaign contributions. And one of the problems with the money primarily going to these leadership committees or the legislative leaders themselves is that it concentrates an awful lot of power in a very few hands, and what that ends up doing is really robbing us of independent representation by our own individual state lawmakers. Our individual representatives are sort of being led around by the nose, and they're being told what's going to be voted on and what's not going to be voted on, and they really need to walk lockstep behind their leadership, or they risk either losing committee chairmanships or choice committee seats. They even can sometimes find themselves facing a primary challenger if they stand up to leadership. So this system is really concentrating power in a very few hands, and it results in a less independent minded legislature, and one that is much more where power is consolidated in the hands of the leaders, and rank and file members of the legislature really don't have much choice but to walk lockstep behind those leaders.
So because those rank and file members aren't getting that much money directly to them, you're saying beholden to those campaign committees that are taking in the bulk of the cash.
Yeah, the big money is going to these leadership PACs. Now those committees then dole money out to those legislators where they think, if they think there's going to be a competitive race in a particular part of the state, or if they think a particular legislator needs help, they send money in that direction. But they control the purse strings. The money's not going directly to those legislators. It's being funneled through these committees controlled by the legislative leaders. Because they control the purse strings, that gives them an awful lot of power over those individual representatives. Well, that's not good for the voters, and that's not good for you know, the local people who just want an elected representative who's gonna go to bat for that district. Instead, what you've got are a lot of legislators who really have to follow or take their cues from the leaders and follow those leaders. And those leaders end up shaping the agenda. They decide what's going to get voted on and what's not going to be voted on. And that's just not healthy. It robs voters of independent-minded, authentic representation.
Do you think this system drives maybe independent-minded people away from running in the first place?
Well, I think not only do we effectively have a candidacy tax. Now, poll taxation was outlawed during the civil rights era. It's illegal to charge a tax for voting. But what we effectively have is a candidacy tax. It's become so expensive to run for these offices that, you know, you have to have an awful lot of money that you can put on the table before you're even taken seriously and you're a viable candidate. Of course that chases good people away from seeking public office. It prevents good people who would be excellent representatives from even throwing their hat in the ring. And then once those people who do throw their hat in the ring get in the legislature, they find themselves having to answer to those leaders and having to take their cues from those leaders, and they can't really just represent their voting constituents the way they want to. They you know, because they have to get some money from those people who control the purse strings. That all of this really works against having good representation for voters.
How does the redistricting that we got out of the 2010 census and what came after that, how does that play into all of this?
Well, I think again, the redistricting plan was shaped by the Republicans who control the legislature, and they designed districts that put them in a much more commanding position. They created more safe Republican districts, and they created more districts where, you know, some Democrats who had won by narrow margins now are very vulnerable. What that's going to do is it's going to narrow the number of races that are competitive. In most districts, it's going to be a foregone conclusion which party's going to control that seat. And so instead of voters really having a chance to choose their representative and decide which party they want to be represented by, you know, the representatives are effectively choosing their voters, and it's becoming pretty obvious which party is going to control certain seats. Well, that's not healthy from a voter's perspective either. One of the things that also will do is probably lead to some people just deciding to hang it up and leave the legislature. And that's one thing that we saw. $3.5 million got raised, but it got raised by a very few people. When you look at a lot of the rank and file legislators, some of them raised next to nothing. And I think what that suggests is that they're probably not even going to seek re-election. So I think we're going to see a larger than normal number of departures from the legislature, not because these people probably want to leave the legislature, but I think because they're either fed up with being led around by the nose, or their district has been changed so it makes it next to impossible for them to compete for the office. So I think redistricting is going to whittle down the number of districts that are really in play and really are competitive and where voters truly have a choice between the two parties.
Well, we're early in the year still. We're just looking at last year's numbers. We've got a race for governor and the entire assembly, a lot of the state senate. Are you predicting a big year for campaign spending here in Wisconsin?
Oh, yeah, I think that we're going to see huge sums of money spent, but I don't think we'll see a record either in the governor's race or in the legislature, because we had these very unusual recall elections. In the 2012 election for governor, we saw $81 million spent. The previous record for an election for governor was $36 million in total spending. I think we'll see well over $36 million spent, but I don't think it's going to reach $81 million. That was a very unusual circumstance. And similarly, we saw a state Senate race run up to $10 million during the recall elections, we're not going to see a Senate election reach $10 million, but we'll see a number of million-dollar or multi-million-dollar races. There will be a lot of spending. Compared to normal elections in the past, we'll probably see record spending. But those recall elections, of course, were run under different rules. The targets of recalls weren't under any campaign contribution limits. They could take any amount. And we saw donors give as much as $500,000 to Governor Walker. This race, this year's race, will be run under campaign contribution limits, and no donor will be able to give more than $10,000 to a candidate for governor. So that's going to mean that there won't be as much money as we saw in these recall elections. But I think when you compare these elections in 2014 to normal elections, the amount of spending is going to be immense.
Mike, thanks a lot for joining us today.
My pleasure. Good talking with you.
That's Mike McCabe. He's executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign.